Welcome, mountain bikers. No hemming and hawing, no blabbering. Just going to let you know that we're going to take an extra week off. We'll be back January 10th for the next Inside Line. And yeah, Santa Cruz Syndicate. We've got Greg Minar, Loris Vergier, and Luca Shaw. Not much to say. We'll let them do the talking. I hope this episode is as fun to listen to as it was to record. And yeah, let's just get into it. This Vital MTB Inside Line podcast is brought to you by Jensen USA. Shop for great deals and get professional advice on your favorite mountain bikes, components, and riding gear. Over 2 million happy cyclists served since 1994. Visit JensenUSA.com/theInsideLinePodcast and use code INSIDELINE for 10% off qualifying items. Maxxis Tires. Where the rubber meets the dirt, Maxxis makes no compromise tires for any rider, any trail, anytime.
Now try.
Hello. It's Loris.
Jeez.
We're live.
Really? No.
Just live on Facebook right now. Good. Water. I'm good enough for now. Gotta have someone keep the reins. Keep the train on the rails.
That was a nice little power nap.
Good. You feeling better? Yeah, slide it closer to you.
I wasn't talking to the mic. I'm just saying I had a really nice nap.
I know.
I'm going to intro this thing. It always feels weird to intro the show when you're sitting here like this. Like, welcome, Vital MTBers. I'm Sean Spomer, and this is the Inside Line Podcast. With some special bike riders. They're not old timers anymore. Well, Greg kind of is. We got some current riders. The Santa Cruz Syndicate. We have Greg Minar, Loris Vergier. Is that good? Yeah, nice.
Pretty good.
And Luca Shaw, straight out of the South.
Present.
Present and accounted for. Luca, what's your go-to Waffle House meal? Get close to that mic.
Well, there's only
one. You were so confident a minute ago, there's only one meal.
That is. It's the All-Star Special. And it's like you get a waffle, which I get a light waffle, so it's like slightly gooey. And then bacon, 3 scrambled eggs, hash browns. That's it.
All right.
And a lot of water.
That's pretty legit. A lot of water.
Yeah. Trying to like, you know, reverse the steps you've taken previous hours. So, yeah.
Sweet.
But yeah, it's pretty good.
Good. Loris, Greg, do you know what a Waffle House is?
I've seen it. I thought it was a pub.
Just from the side of the
Whenever
road.
I get these random calls late at night, it's from the Waffle House. And there was a band playing in the Waffle House. Got these live videos.
That's only happened once, but
cool. Yeah, cool. Loris, have you ever seen one?
No, never, but I've heard some story about it, that it's the best place to go after a motocross or party or whatever. So I'd be keen to go if Luca invite us.
Sounds like it's a 24-hour spot.
It is.
Yeah.
Is it?
They never close.
They never close. All right. Well, we're just kind of winging it tonight. Glad you guys could come to the neighborhood, sort of. We get together. Kathy, thanks for making it happen. We got the rookies sharing a microphone. This is more guests than normal. And my goal, personally, is to basically interview everyone that's important at Santa Cruz besides Rob Roskopp. So that's a goal. I think we're accomplishing it right now. Yeah. All right.
Rob who?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, the people that made Santa Cruz great, that's who I'm interviewing. So. Dude, are you guys kind of just eye-rolling, like, oh, media duties, I just want to hang out, relax?
We were when you arrived.
Yeah. I kind of got that vibe when I rolled up. Oh, hey, dude.
It's like Sven. It's like when Sven rolls in, you know, it's just going to be made up and having to move around to get the good shot and all tough, but it hasn't been so far.
Yeah.
We had a good sundowner, good sunset photos. It's been pretty easy.
Yeah. You're pretty pro at it. Like, you're used to it, huh?
What, the sunset photos?
No, just like all the media stuff you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, you go fast on the bike and now you have to do all this.
Yeah, No comment.
Rookies, what about you? What about you guys? Is this new to you? Are you getting used to it? Like, what's going on? Pick. One of you goes first.
Whatever.
Go for it.
No. It's okay. Yeah, it's always kind of bizarre or weird because they are English and I don't understand the thing, so I try to speak English. And
do you use that as an excuse, though?
His English is so bad, he just came out with bizarre in a sentence.
Bizarre is French, okay?
Exactly.
Hey.
Boom.
Sorry, man. But yeah, still, they are really, not really funny, but they are funny sometimes. And yeah, it's hard. But I'm pretty sure Luca has a better answer.
What was the question?
Are you getting used to the media stuff?
No.
No? Is there a lot? Like, is there more than you thought there'd be?
Not that much, no.
No? Just Sven coming to hassle you?
Sometimes. I'm not used to speaking into this microphone, that's for sure.
But it looks awkward for you.
Yeah, it feels very awkward.
All right, so with the Kathy interview a couple weeks ago, we had her tell us a team rumor, and I bleeped it out so no one could know. And once that went live, I had 50 people calling me up. What'd you say? What'd you say? So each of you tell us a team rumor that we're not going to say. We're not going to make it public. It'll only be here. Tell us a team rumor you've heard about.
I honestly don't know any rumors because I seriously feel super out of the loop. Like, I don't hear anything and I don't really care that much. So it's like, I've got nothing to contribute.
Too busy training at Waffle House.
Waffle House doesn't have internet.
Come on, Loris. You know something French going on.
You always know the ins and outs, for sure.
Actually, not really. Maybe from other brands.
Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah, other brands, not necessarily you guys. I mean, anything.
Are you going
to
bleep it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Of course. Really. That's the best part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
As a new bike, I think everyone knows now. I don't know.
You told us that was replacing.
I did not say that.
You did.
All right, that's pretty good. We got enough. That's cool. That's some good juice right there.
You probably know more than us.
I don't know that much. Like, I feel like people are trying to
trick
me.
We're talking about a team rumor. Right. We'll bleep it out.
The latest one I heard that's pretty big deal is.
I heard that too.
Pull that mic closer, Greg. All right,
we actually talked about it yesterday. We sat out of the loop.
Don't even care
nothing
anymore.
Nothing really makes it down to Africa. Luke is at the Waffle House, and we can't understand what Loris says. So we had no rumors, and we didn't hear of anything.
Yep, works for me. All right, now with 17 questions we've done in the past with Ratty and with Petey, we had those dudes tell us something about you that you wouldn't want people to know. Now's your chance. Tell us something about Steve Pete that you don't think people would want. He would want people to know. I can't even say it.
Shit, I don't know.
Come on. That he's staying at Lopes' house tonight instead of here.
Oh. I don't know. I'll come back to this one.
Okay. All
right. Maybe. I mean, to be honest, I couldn't think of anything straight.
He's pretty out, like, he kind of lets it all out there, huh?
Keeps it under his cap.
Yeah, that's a big old no, right there.
I didn't
there,
want to say sure. That, but yeah.
Yeah.
Undercover.
He's under monster.
Who's the best answer and why?
Is a cap a commodity to most people, or just Petey?
I don't know. Yeah, probably just Petey. What about the little schlong valve cap things that he's trying to hawk?
He's gonna have some stiff competition.
Are you on that team? Did you try and get a deal with that?
He's too tight to give us a deal on those.
All right.
It's rough out there. It's rough.
Yes.
Who's the best answer? And why, out of the three of you?
Loris, for sure, but he never does. But he dances more than Greg. Greg, I've seen Greg dance one time. And then Loris, I've seen him dance a couple of times, but he's pretty good. Like, I'm not going to lie, he's got some moves.
Is that true, Loris?
I don't know. Luca pulls out the sprinkler.
I mean, every it time. Feels good when I do it. Like,
got to stretch those pecs.
It feels really like fluid and just like, oh, so good when I'm like going at it dancing. But then I see like the creeper videos that Greg gets of me, and I'm like, oh, that's can't be me. Can't be me because it feels way more fluid. But you know, it is what it is. At least I tried.
It's true though. That's the toughest thing is you feel like you're such an amazing dancer until you see the video. Then you're wrapped in a toilet roll and going nowhere.
Loris, what's the deal? They're saying you're the best dancer.
I'm the only one, I think, really trying hard. Like, because they don't really give a shit. But yeah, Greg is watching us, trying to, you know, laugh at us all the time and filming. But we never actually seen him trying to dance. But I begin to watch
that. And that's because he had to stay with the French at the World Champs when I had my dance off for 6 hours.
Right. With the South African team?
No, by myself.
Yeah. It was quite funny. We ran out of booze and Greg resists the urge to sleep. This is a true story. And then he danced for about 4 hours to the same song by himself in our house. And that was the only time I've seen him dance. And I think he was just making up for all the lost time.
I guess 4 hours.
4 hours by himself to one song. What was that song? Is it Maroon 5 or something?
I was sleeping.
No.
Maroon I was 5. Sleeping.
And it wasn't very good, but it was funny.
Nice.
Loris missed it all.
Because you were with the French team?
Yeah.
Yep.
Get for close. The last time.
Not by choice.
Yeah.
No, but for the last time.
For the last time, did you get a new citizenship?
He says it wasn't by choice, but I think it was.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, I'm staying with the syndicate. Because I don't know why it's like that, because it's the most important race of the year, and you're like, not with the team. So it's good to be with the French team too, but maybe not for the World Championship.
Just because it kind of upends your routine? Like it makes it different than what you're used to?
Because I just want to see Greg dance. That's it.
That's good. All right, we'll get a little more serious. All year.
We have been.
Yeah, it is, I guess, yeah. Every time, this is for Luca. Every time the 29er came up and how much faster you're going, this and that, you seem like you took offense to it. Like everyone's saying like, dude, you're so fast on the 29er, bro. And your responses were always like, but I'm just kind of fast regardless of the wheel size. Like, did you take it personally that people thought it was the bike and not you?
I mean, a little bit, you know, like it kind of proved it. I think when like you had all these guys go to 29 inch wheels for one race and then go back to 27.5, like it kind of proved to me, it's like, well, like, I mean, if you're fast, you're going to be fast on whatever wheel. And like, especially at Lourdes when we were the only ones and everyone, and then we did well in qualities, everyone was like, oh, it's because of the bike. It's like, no, like, I've like worked really hard to be this fast. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I do think my bike's really good, but I don't think that's like the only reason why, you know? So it's a little bit annoying, but it's kind of like motivating too. So no, I think it's just kind of, I mean, you're going to be fast on whatever you're comfortable on. And I like the 29er. So yeah, it's just one of those, but
cool. Loris, did you ever feel like that? Like people were calling out the bike more than your skill?
Yeah. The first race was like, I've seen some video interview like, yeah, for sure, the 29er is way better. We've tested and we've done months on the bike. Their bike is just like not as good as ours. It was like a brand anyway. And I felt kind of left out. I don't know. It's not just the bike. You have to be on it and go fast on it. And like Luca said, everyone tried it and they're still as fast as before. I don't know. So it was just because we were the first one and it was the first race, so nobody really thought about it. But after when everyone tried it, I think everyone knows that we are there and it's not just a bike. So yeah, we proved that it's not just a bike, I think.
Yeah. Greg, thoughts? Seems like everyone's like, oh, Greg finally has a bike that fit him. That's why he's doing so well.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
But do you feel like that's giving more, is that more credit to the bike than you?
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's true, the bike did fit me a bit better than before, so I was able to ride it a little nicer. Felt good riding it. Didn't really care what anyone else thought.
Yeah. Are you tired of talking about wheel size stuff?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's, I think it's just progression in different areas. I think half of it with people, a lot of people just a bit butthurt that we had actually not spoken about it, but gone and done it. And then they all tried to rush and make one and didn't work out, so they went back to the old bike. So I think it was, I think if we didn't feel comfy on it or we thought it was just a phase, we wouldn't have gone to it, but we felt really good on the bike and we felt like it worked for us and we gelled with it, so we stuck with it.
Yeah. Loris, one of the Instagram questions was about you going back to 27.5 at the end of the year. Do you feel like that worked better for you? Like, have you thought about next year and what you're going to do?
The thing this year was like Lucas said, you will go fast on whatever you want to go fast on. And on this race, my mind was on the 27.5, and I don't know why, but it was like that. And I think it was just, for my mind. And it worked out pretty well, but I'm pretty sure it's not just the wheels, it's just in the head. And once you get used to it, it's just like, okay, for every races. Just sometimes it feels maybe weird because I'm just the limit. I'm not that tall. So that's why my mind sometimes switched back to 27.5. And I'm like, oh, I might try it again.
Yeah.
But it's just a switch in the head. And once you get past that, it's just perfect all year long, I think.
Okay. And do you think it's kind of size dependent? Like if you're a certain height, it might not work for you?
I'm just saying that if you really want to be perfect on the bike, you have to be maybe a tiny bit taller than me. That's why.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. Anyway, because some people tried it, like smaller one than me, and they've been kind of struggling. Yeah, smaller. Okay, I understand. Fuck. Anyway, so.
Who are you talking about?
I've got a. Okay. It's
Petey's not that short.
Nice segue. Mm. Yeah. So that was the thing.
Okay. All right, Luca, someone asked if you feel like there's different riding techniques for the big wheels versus 27.5. Like, have you had to learn to ride the bike differently?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Like, I think, I don't know. I feel like it suits me because, like, I don't.
I'd never met you before. Same with Loris. And Luca, I thought you were, I did not know you were that tall, as tall as you are.
6'4"? You didn't know I'm 6'4"?
Oh, 6'4", I know. It's like, what? 6'4"? Like, you're 5'4".
Yeah. I know. I get that a lot.
Because you mentioned actually everyone 6'4". Says, I look small on the bike. Why do you think people think that?
Don't know. Just because, like, I'm a little crouched, maybe. But I don't know. I just think it suits my style. I'm sort of, like, I'm not real, like, exciting on the bike, I guess. Because every time I feel like I'm, like, on the limit, about to crash, like going for it, and then I see like a video of myself and I look like I'm going like so slow. And I think that sort of suits the 29er. Like, I don't know, I just like brake real early and like set up real early and just kind of try and carry speed and not like maybe the most exciting to watch. But I think for the 29er, it sort of suits it. So it works for me. And I definitely don't think I'll ever go back for racing.
Yeah.
So no, all good.
Greg, you're going back to 26 next year?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is for Greg.
Funny enough, we try to build up a jackal because I needed to do this pump track thing. We couldn't find a 26-inch wheel set in the whole of Santa Cruz factory.
Really?
I ended up with an Edge front wheel from...
An Edge before Envy?
Before Envy, an Edge front wheel. And I don't know, I think it was an Envy rear wheel found somewhere else. I guess fine. That's how
deep in Dougie's garage.
Deep.
You want a jackal with 26? That'll be sick to see.
Yeah. No, that was for opening a pump track in McLaren Bike Park in San Fran. So, bit tough.
Cool.
Bit tough finding those things.
Yep. What did you say, Luca? All right. Since Greg's tired, we'll have him answer this first. with these two new guys on the squad, what did they surprise you in any way this year? Like, did you have some expectations about how they might do and how y'all might get along? And, you know, what do you think? The first year's over, so.
Well, I hung out a lot with Luca prior, and so I knew that was going to be pretty easy. Loris, on the other hand, we weren't quite sure. And but
are you being serious, or are you just kind of breaking
No,
balls?
I didn't really know him very well. I mean, it's, you know, he's on the other side of the board. He's on the French side. Mm-hmm. And no, I just never really hung out with him much. And so we try to make sure that with all our training camps, we had some activities. So, you know, we went surfing and all hang out surfing, and then decided it would be great to go to a Cuban bar and hang out there the weekend before the first World Cup. And, yeah, it was cool. I think we had a good time. And I think that's kind of set the tone for the rest of the season, that we will continue as the syndicate always has been, that we're going to have a great time off the bike. And then when it's time to race, we race really hard. And so I think that was set the tone. So, yeah, it was... it wasn't easy. Again, I wouldn't say it wasn't easy, but yeah, I was like a bit nervous seeing how the team would gel. Mm-hmm. Since myself, Petey, and Reddy had been a team since 2008. I mean, that's quite a long time. And so all new team and a rider that we didn't really know. And I'd hang out with Lucas, so it made it even, you know, harder. There wasn't just really two new guys, it was one. So, but I think everyone gelled pretty good. And I think our opening test session and training camp in Portugal ended up pretty good.
Sealing the deal. Nice. All right, and so...
And he makes out as though his English is really bad. Meantime, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he understands everything.
Everything.
Sure.
Yeah. Plus.
All right, so we'll go, Loris. We'll go to you, but kind of the same thing. It was your first year on the team. Were there any surprises or kind of expectations that you had that either were met or not met? You know, what do you think of your first year?
The first thing I was surprised is, like, everything you see from outside, like what I thought it would be, it's actually even worse. So it's
for better.
Yeah,
for better or worse.
Yeah,
magnified. Yeah,
it's like a marriage.
So it's just insane. Like he told us, the Greg, right before the first World Cup, we were hanging out in a bar, and I'm not used to that. And I think you get used to it really quick because it's just fun, and you go racing and you just like go racing now, and in between you just have fun. And I think it's a different way to race and to be good in your body and your team too. And I'm happy too because I've been switching with I changed my mechanic, and he's French, so obviously I can speak French a bit, because otherwise I'm just kind of over it, speaking English. It's just, you have to think about everything you're talking, and it's just, oof. Sometimes I want to be like, allez vous faire enculer, tu vois, j'en ai marre de parler anglais. It's a, anyway, it was a French thing. For
did
my
you just
Frenchies.
Cuss us out?
I was like, fuck off, fuck your English, anyway. Because it's tough, you can't tell, but it's tough. And about the bike, it's the same. It's just like, once they've done something, it's real, real good first when they do it. Yeah, it was not English. But yeah, I was impressed with all that. And yeah, Cess is amazing. She's giving everything. And I can tell it's love and all this stuff. So yeah, I can tell. All this shit, I'm struggling in English right
wrap
now.
It
so
up,
yeah,
wrap it up. Box.
I'm gonna pass the mic and.
Yeah, Luca. Give us your highlight reel, Luca. What are your biggest letdowns with being on the same team as Greg Minnaar? I'm just kidding. What? How was your first?
Where to start? No, it's been like kind of like Greg kind of said. I sort of I'd hung out with Greg. I'd hung out with Kathy and, like, the team a bit. And so I kind of knew what to expect, but, yeah, it is a bit magnified. No, it's been really good, like, kind of everything I'd hoped it'd be. And, yeah, it's been really fun and really, like, the support is on another level. So, yeah, it's great.
Cool. Do you feel like being on, like, a factory team? Like, is there a different level than when you were with, you know, the TLD team? Like, because that was a little bit more, like, privateer with support, right?
Yeah, kinda? Yeah. Like, I feel like I've really, like, from when I first started, like, first year junior to, like, last year on SRAM TLD to, like, getting into Syndicate last year, it's, like, each year has been, like, another step kind of support. And, like, but, I mean, no, SRAM TLD was great, and, like, I feel like I learned so much, and I'm really glad that I had that sort of upbringing, like, kind of earn your stripes, kind of everything you got was sort of, you feel like you earned it, and I feel like that still, you know, so, but, I mean, this year with, I mean, just, like, the food that Kathy cooks, and the places we stay, and just the testing, and the training in between, and the, you know, like, the support from Santa Cruz and the mechanics and everything, it's like just another level still. So, yeah, it's been a good progression for me. And I feel like, but I still feel like I've earned it. So, yeah, it's been good. And, yeah, everything I kind of hoped for. So,
yeah, cool. Do you guys ever feel like the fun factor is a distraction? So you guys have a,
it can be. Definitely can be at times, but
to the point where, like, I, dude,
it's not gonna it's not gonna take away from a race. I mean, we're pretty serious when it comes to a race, so that yeah, it's good. It's a good distraction. It's good to have fun. It's good not to be thinking about a race on a Monday evening. But
is there a cutoff though? You're like, okay, Wednesday at 9 a.m. I'm full focus. Like
for sure.
We've tried that at times.
Have you really?
No, yeah. I mean, Greg, like. There's a cutoff. Like, he goes to bed like 8 o'clock. I remember. Night. Like, no, I'm not even kidding. Like
tried to do right now.
No, like in Fort William and stuff. Like, no, that was actually like my first World Cup at Lourdes this year. Like, it was like there. I swear to God, there was a cutoff. Like, where the Greg I'd known in the past, like the fun, like, oh, you know, let's you going to bed already? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, oh. Like. He all of a sudden turned into like the most like prima donna, like needed his foot rub, needed to go to bed at this time. I'm serious. Like, I'm not even kidding. And there's a serious like cutoff, especially with Greg. Like, when it's time to race, like it's time to race, and there's like no more messing around.
So, all right.
There is definitely a cutoff.
Does that impact you? Do you see that and be like, well, maybe I should apply that to what I'm doing?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I mean, I don't think you really get this far like messing around, you know? Like, it's like all fun and games until it's not, you know what I mean? Like, and I mean, you have to take it serious because it's like so competitive now. So yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, I know I kind of expected that, and that's the way I've kind of always approached it. Like, I mean, racing is like big deal to me, so I always take it serious.
Yeah. Loris, your input, you can't just hide in the corner over there.
I'm good for the moment.
Come on, good day.
You can talk?
No, Loris, what about... Does the amount does the amount of fun having, does it, was that an adjustment for you? Does it distract or?
No, I think you have to be yourself all the time. So if you want to do something, you do it, and if you don't want, you go sleep. So I'm right there.
And you
right
feel like
there.
You can do that with the team? Like, if everyone else is shredding and you just want to go to bed, they're cool?
Yeah. That's what I do. Like, sometimes I'm sleepy or I want to be alone on my phone, and I do it. So it's easy. But yeah, for Greg, it's true. I agree. But not all the time. But there's special races, and it's amazing myself sometimes because there's a big, yeah, step in between the normal Greg and the other one. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm more like always what I, yeah, always me is maybe how you say that, bipolar.
Bipolar.
No, yeah, I don't know.
All right, Greg, you look a little surprised that they're saying this. Do you not feel like,
oh no, I think
there's business Greg and then mullet party in the back Greg.
I do enjoy having a good time. And but yeah, there's a time to race as well. Sometimes that the border crossing is a bit delayed, like we had, as we were saying earlier. But I mean, it's yeah, it's race that you know, as soon as we are practicing, then it's all focus. I mean, you've got it. I mean, that's why we're there to race, yeah. Race to do well, and you can't do well if you. May have had a little bit too much wine. So,
do you feel like your experience helps you, though? Like, you've done it so long that you kind of...
Nah, I think I just take it serious. I love racing. I love trying to be the best I can at racing. So, yeah, you've got to... You've got to change things up and be a bit more serious.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Party hard, race hard.
I like it.
You got to have that. You'll be able to switch off to switch on.
Yeah. Do you guys ever compare bike setups?
Yeah. It's
or do you just run what you brung and like, do you guys compare? You know, Greg's a little bit bigger, right? But not much.
We share everything, really. It's, yeah.
How
it's,
similar are you guys between each other?
In bike setup?
Yeah.
Quite different. Yeah. I think Luca and I would be very similar. But Loris has this crazy fast fork. It's like there's not a drop of rebound.
Yeah?
On it.
How come?
Yeah, I've got some specialty.
And he's got these brake levers that are just incredibly high. It's like he's got to dislocate his knuckles to pull them.
Exactly.
Like you and Johan, Borelli has the same thing. They're like up here.
We've got our theory on it, but I'll explain later. Yeah, I've got some stuff that I don't know why I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I try something more like them or more like everyone, I'm not in the mood or I don't really like it. So I go by myself and try stuff. Yeah. And that's working for me for the moment. So yeah, I think way different on some stuff and especially the levers. The level of the levers and the saddle high too, because I don't know why I've got short legs or something. I don't want to put the saddle in my butt, so
it's a slam saddle slam.
Yeah.
What are you, Luca, most particular about?
Nothing really.
Nothing. Come on, like I go turn your rebound all the way off. You'd be like, that's cool, it's good.
No, I feel like I just like consistency and. Once I get used to something, I just like to keep it the same. Like, where maybe Greg or Loris might, like, tweak stuff more during a race weekend, I just like to get it kind of set and get it close and then just ride it, and then just, try and keep it the same. And just, then you hop on it and you know what to expect and it's sort of your bike. I feel like I'd rather adjust my style or my riding to a track than try and adjust my bike to a track. That's always kind of just been my way of going about it, but once I kind of find out what I like, I just run it. So
okay, goat, you,
me, it's my bike setup.
Yeah.
That's
are you a head case
topic? No, I just like to have a feel on something.
Luke is nodding yes,
so I like it to feel a certain way, and sometimes I can't figure it out what it is, if some of the brake levers are the wrong angle or the bars not right. I just like it to feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I get that feel, then I'm comfy, but it takes a while. So like if I get my handlebars in the right position and everything's all right, I do not take or adjust or move those handlebars or brakes until I have to change them. Mm-hmm. It's like,
and what would be a reason to change them? Like steepness of the track or something?
Like
or?
Maybe I have a crash and like scuff the bar and it, you know, so that would be like but like to travel or anything, the brake levers and handlebars stay in the same position on this stem. It's like...
Really?
Yeah, it takes me forever to set it up. So.
All right. There you go. So he's a nutcase, like Luca said. That's cool. let's go to some Instagrammer questions. At Greg Minar from Carter.-. That's a gnarly Instagram. When are you going to retire? Please never do. And someone else asked if this is your last season.
I don't know. I would have thought it would have been my last, but I'm not sure. Maybe a couple more.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, if I judge myself to these guys, I feel like I acted a little bit younger. Stay out a little bit later. So things are good so far.
Dude, run it. Are any of you dabbling in the EWS in 2018? who at BikeFit wants to know. There's a lot of whispering going on.
I think we'll go to
on.
Finale if we're invited.
Yes.
Is that in the plans, Sis?
We're going.
Sweet, then yeah.
I actually voted. I think Loris should do a full season after his performance last year.
I think so.
He was unreal.
The French tracks, he'll do really well on them, right?
He says he hasn't ever been to finale, but you know, when he was right up there, I think he was just like all the others out there weeks before. Sent post like he was in Mallorca on holiday. Meantime, we had spotted his van in finale 3 weeks prior.
All right, ride bikes _ walk places wants to know, did at Greg Menard, did your rear triangle really get worn out by the flex on the 29er wheel in numerous times per World Cup race, or is that an urban myth?
Did Marshy create this one?
I don't
know,
he might
a lot
be.
Of good jokes.
I didn't even follow that.
Yeah,
I think they're saying your rear triangle got worn out by the flex of the 29er wheel.
Nah.
No? Mm. Urban myth?
Yeah, someone's overthinking things.
Yeah. What do you guys think when you see just random crazy stuff on the internet that you know is not true? Do you even care?
Have you followed how much random crap is on the internet?
Well, yeah, like how much do you get sucked in?
I mean, look at those guys on all these forums just absolutely giving their opinion on something that they've probably never been to watch a World Cup race live, yet they know so much about UCR, so much about bikes, so much about the tracks and the tracks are boring and this and that. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
What do you think?
But it's entertaining.
But it's what? Entertaining? Yeah, totally.
I think it's a bit.
Come on, the kids, you guys are on your phones more than anyone. What do you guys think?
I just think it's kind of weird. Like, what do you do all day? Just worry about yourself? I don't know. I think it's kind of strange.
Grant Rogers 627 wants to know if any of you invested in Bitcoin in 2013.
Greg wishes.
No.
Dude, you wish?
Dude, no,
everyone said,
I almost did. We won't talk about it.
Okay. Dude, Bowman claims to be a Bitcoin
who?
Almost millionaire. Joe Bowman.
Oh, really?
That's what he says. I don't know.
Joe Bowman's
we call him Bitcoin Bowman from now on. Yeah. So,
well,
yeah. What influenced your bike handling most? Your bike handling style. Sorry. That's what Maddie Flats Luca. Oh, no. He's asking you, Luca. Sorry.
Oh.
Maddie Flats asks Luca, what influenced your bike handling style the most?
Well, I grew up sort of on like a little XR50. And then like when I was 8, I started racing BMX. And then I raced BMX until I was like 16. Pretty into that. So I'd say, yeah, mainly BMX. And then sort of dabbled more into mountain bikes and then kind of switched over to mountain bikes. So just BMX and just riding as a kid. I don't know. Sort of. Somewhere in between there.
Did you ever pick any rider and were like, I want to be like him?
Not really. I mean, like, I feel like every year I'd be like, oh, man. You know, whoever you kind of looked up to at that time.
Who are some past examples that you looked up to?
Like in mountain bike racing?
Yeah.
I didn't really follow mountain bike racing until I was probably like 15.
Okay.
So, I was super into motocross and MotoGP and stuff like that when I was real little. So, like, Ricky Carmichael and like James Stewart and Valentino Rossi and that kind of those were like my first heroes. And then I raced BMX, so that was kind of BMX is really competitive for like little kids, so that was good for me, I think, just to like, you know, learn skills and sort of like that. And then when I got into mountain biking, like, yeah, just the guys who were at the top then, like Sam Hill and Greg and all those guys, like I just looked up to, you know, Stevie and all those dudes. So yeah, all of them sort of.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say one person, but
okay. Cool. Laura, we'll start with Loris, but What do you think about the 60 qualifiers this year versus 80?
I kind of like it, I think. Sorry for the other one, I don't know. But I think it's a tiny bit like Formula One or MXGP or whatever. They are not 100. They are less than us. So I guess if you want to watch a full replay or a full race, it's kind of long. So it's a tiny bit better for the sport too, for that. And I'm not, for the moment, I'm pretty all right with the 60th place because I'm going to qualify, I think. But
selfish.
So so for the moment, I'm
pretty automatic the whole year.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Sick. Anyway, yeah, it's good, I think.
Greg?
Do you want to know my honest opinion?
No, I want you to lie. Yeah, of course. Like, tell me what you think.
Well, you know, I was against it. I didn't think that 60 would have been good. I thought they should have made it 100 and then allowed, taken away the junior race and put the juniors in the mix with the pros, but just given a protected junior race, but still categorize the juniors as the own event. I would have thought that would have been better than just have one race. It's, you know, when I was growing up, there wasn't junior racing, and it just made you ride harder to try and qualify. And but at least now you'd still get recognition, still get your podium and everything else, but you'd be in the main race. So I think right now you ride at different times and different kind of tracks, and you'd eliminate that. You'd all be on the same track, and the juniors would get up to pace and deeper ruts and blown-out courses. And so, yeah, that was my idea.
Okay. So you would rather have it bigger with juniors? Like, you don't think make it even smaller, make it more elite for the best of the best of the
no,
best?
No, I thought expand it to 100 and keep it 100 and then have 10 or 20 protected juniors mm-hmm. in that main race. And, yeah, everyone races together.
Cool. Luca, your thoughts?
I honestly haven't really thought much about it, and I'm not super certain what the rule changes are.
I just know I'm fast enough to get in there.
No, but I mean, so yeah, I don't really mind.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Were you guys good in high school? That's the
smart
question that
were they smart?
Logan Maringer, it just says, were you guys good in high school?
What year did they
that was real good.
Real good, thanks.
Well, all the above.
So were we good? Were we well
were you
behaved,
good, were you good students?
I had really good grades until like my last 2 years, and then I didn't have so good grades, but I graduated.
Count it, Loris.
Same.
Greg? Yeah, I made sure I just passed and I didn't finish high school. I had to go to Europe and race bikes.
Yeah, so you're already racing, right?
So I left a little early.
Let's see. I'm digging through some Instagrammers here.
About the one.
Do you want to... Does anyone want to change in the World Cup tracks? New or old? Revisited? All that stuff? Do you guys... It seems like there's a lot of grumbling about Fort William or Mount St. Anne. Yeah, they're back again.
We're just talking about them there.
From the people who've never been there.
The tech geeks who've never been to a World Cup.
Mm-hmm. It's like Formula One hits the same tracks all the time and no one complains. Do you guys...
The only thing I would really like is more races. I really like to race, and I feel like 7 World Cups a year is a little bit on the slim side. I think 10 would be cool or more. You look at other sports, I mean, NBA season, 82-game regular season. It's like, man, that's like a professional athlete, you know? But like when you train all year for 7 races, it's like a little bit
quite
annoying.
Like the off season.
You like the off season?
Well, you could have the same amount of time in the off season.
I remember
you just
back
have
in
more
the day,
races.
Though, like prior to me starting to race World Cups, I used to have 10.
I think at least 10.
When
like,
I started, when I started, it was 8.
Favor 10, but they only get so many proposals and so many things.
I don't know.
So
I think it'd be nice to see like Maribel was a great World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Maribel.
Maribel. Was good.
Okay.
US.
There's a cup. There's a cup.
Be cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I'd go down this, but let's do it. Internally, we're joking, but kind of seriously toying with the idea of seeing if we can do a crowdfunding intergalactic world champion race series, some non-trademark title like World Cup or World Champs, where we crowdfund it and see if we can get a certain amount of money to put towards...
Why money? Why don't we use bitcoins?
Okay, or bitcoins, even yeah. better, right? We'll get Bowman to sponsor the race.
Yeah.
But the World Cup's included, and then we strategically pick four other races that make a 10-race series or an 11-race series. And if let's say we get $1 million, just dreaming, would you guys be willing to adjust your schedule and compete for that accordingly? Or it's of like course. Every race in this intergalactic Ultimate Series, sponsored by VitalMTB.com, of course. If we guaranteed $20,000 prize purse every race, would you go to Crankworks Leger?
I don't even think we need the money.
That's
I
the thing.
Think
like,
we would have just if we had.
I mean,
yeah, but come on. Like, if we just said, like, hey, we're going to make up this series that's all seven World Cups, the U.S. Open, Crankworks Leger.
The problem is, we've heard about IXS, these series like, that are going to happen, and nothing's happened. So it's not really about the money. Everyone seems to talk about them, but if someone actually went and did them, we'd probably do them anyway.
Just that's what I mean. Like, we're just going to make up a series and put it on paper and say, this: all these races exist, seven World Cups, U.S. Open, Crankworks, Whistler, whatever. We're going to just say this is now a new series, randomly calling it a new series, and there's prize money involved. Would you guys give a shit? Would you go to Crankworks, sure. Whistler to race all of a sudden to be part of this
yes.
made-up series that Vital yes. started by crowdfunding?
Yes.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, but we wouldn't. Yeah. I don't think it would be about the money. I think we'd just do it to race. And if it was like a series,
yeah, but come
it would
on.
Include to it. It
but would. Like, you guys don't go to Crankworks.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I had a hell of a Crankworks. In
but
the
you day. Don't race, though.
Yeah, I did. Got there a little bit late, but I raced. Not
awesome all of things. Them.
All right, well. If you guys say it's all about the
couldn't
racing, we might have
warm
to get
up
this
before the race.
Here.
But
yes,
no,
you could buy supercars with the prize money. It'd be sick.
Yeah, who cares about supercars and that shit? It's. I think if there was more races to the series and it was a part of the series, we'd do it anyway.
Okay.
I don't think we need Joe Bowman's bitcoins. Or
all right, but like, will you go to US? Oh, like, I'm not trying to commit you to a race. You're not, you know, like, obligated to commit to, but like. U.S. Opens right before Mount St. Anne. Will you go?
Yes. I'm going for sure.
Yes.
Okay. But like, would you?
Yes.
Well, it depends on the schedule. Normally, I've got another event, which is really exciting for me.
What?
The Oakley Crossover. It's a hell of a great event before Mount St. Anne.
Dude, that's pretty sick, too.
That Oakley event's pretty cool. Yeah. So that's what probably...
Okay. And
but yeah. You know, if it's part of the series, and, you know, we would include it in that... Not even thinking about it.
I figure if we crowdfund, and then we can get brands to, like, match certain prize levels, we can get you guys everyone minimum wage $800,000, just like a long snap NFL kicker. We can get every mountain bike racer.
The problem is everyone talks about it like we've had so many years in the past, no one actually does it. So exactly. There's no point getting hyped up about it if it's not going to happen. Like everyone, you know. So
I guess I just think it's way less formal. All right, well, yeah. We'll put some work into it. What okay, Croatia and Sea Otter conflict. What are you picking?
Sea Otter.
Honestly, though, I would love to go to Sea Otter. I love racing Sea Otter slalom.
Do you?
Yeah,
it's slalom for sure.
No, I'm serious. I wish we could do both.
Okay. Have you guys seen the Croatia track?
No. Loris has been there for weeks already, hasn't he?
Yeah, Loris has been practicing already.
He thought it was a part of the EWS that he found it was a UCR.
What do you guys think about it? You've seen that. You've watched the helmet cam. Come on.
Honestly, I haven't.
Really? Okay.
No, I don't actually know the full schedule. I just know we started in Croatia. I'm always like it. I don't actually know where we race.
No, it's good. Have you guys?
Got Kathy.
Yeah. The GoPro.
What do you think? And it's got that big, like, urban sprint finish at the end.
Yeah.
It's cool. I think it's a race on an island. That's so cool. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Loris?
Yeah, the location looks good, but the track is not good.
You're not that psyched?
Feels like home. Exactly the track I'm riding all the time. Like, shit track.
So you're claiming the win is what I'm doing, right?
Subtly claiming it. For sure.
For sure. All right, with... you haven't even watched Croatia, Greg, so I don't even know if this is going to apply to you, but do you guys check out what other people are, like your competitors are doing online? Do you get, like... Sam Hill, I know he's racing EWS, but like he's posting training stuff on Instagram. Like, do you guys look at what other riders are doing and Does that make you think about how you're preparing for next year?
Not really, no.
Nothing to do with preparation. Just for comical value, really.
I don't really look at, like, I don't really care, honestly. I'm more of, like, interested in, like, watching, like, you know, NBA and, like, NFL games and stuff. Like, honestly, like, I'm way more interested in that than...
I've never watched so much sports scene as I have in the last 24 hours.
No, it's just what I'm into.
Football Sunday or something.
So you guys don't pay attention to other riders, your fellow competitors?
Not really.
No, I don't really care about what they do or what they train or how they train. But when there's like a tiny bit new stuff, I'm like, oh, have you seen that? I don't know, like if Troy Brosnan is not Oakley anymore, is like different brand. I'm
so
just
like the,
saying.
So no, like the gossip, like the sponsor stuff.
Exactly,
you care about.
The gossip part is the best part.
So you don't care, like, oh, they started training last week and I haven't started yet. No?
Nah.
All right. Greg, you don't care. You're already...
I'm in Africa. It's just like another world down there.
No internet.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I know...
I just got the latest edition of Dirt Magazine. It's pretty cool.
I heard they're doing really well right now.
Yeah, they just...
Come on. Steve Jones is the e-bike editor for Global Mountain Bike Network. That's a bummer, man. That's right. Jones, I hope you're cashing in. I think that's sick. If I ask you individually, you're all going to say, no one, I just want to be the winner. Who's your arch nemesis on the track? Who do you want to beat? Like Loris. Loris, if you got 34th, who do you want to make sure is 35th instead of 33rd?
Can you beep on that?
No.
Are you going to beep?
You know what? If you can't win the race, you're at least going to be the fastest in the team.
I was going to say, honestly, I always try and beat Loris. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, it's good.
Which is hard as hell, but I try.
Loris, I'll beep it if you want. Do you want me to beep it? Say yes or no and I'll do it.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why. Okay. There's something about it, because maybe we used to race against him.
Yeah.
And he's good, but I want to be in front of him. And it's, yeah.
Because
Luca
sick.
Is, I don't know why. Luca, when he's good, he's good. And I'm happy because it's a, yeah, anyway, it's good.
No, I mean, I'm happy when you do well too, but you've always been like my benchmark. Like we were both juniors at the same time.
I understand it.
And then you barely beat me. And I was a little bit salty.
Now it's all coming out. Keep it going.
It's like, I feel like, yeah, I mean, if I beat you, I feel like I've done well. And it's not like I'm mad if you beat me, but it's just like.
Yeah, I understand. It's good. Okay. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry for what? Who cares? I kind of think everyone should have that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think everyone does, even Greg.
I know, I want to know who Greg's is. And
that's human nature. Greg will probably never say, but I'm sure there's someone that you always try and beat.
Like there's a couple. Yeah. There's a couple. It's more like...
I mean, I know there's one. But I know you'll never say it.
There's probably a couple, but...
At least they're retired.
There's a couple, but it's... Yeah, I think it's... there's definitely a different emotion when there's someone that you... Don't mind beating you, beat you to someone else. Yeah. But like I said, yeah.
Yeah. Competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That stuff.
I think you all have unique stories with, you know, being the best of all time, coming up, being the best, you know, coming up, you know, as an American. Being French, like, what do you think it takes to be the best? Greg and Loris, how are you coming up? And to Luca, how are you doing it in the U.S. with, it doesn't seem like a lot of support. Like, Greg, let's go first. What do you think it takes to be the best? Like, what's the secret? How come there's so many people that try and can't do it? Like, they can't even crack top 20 and they've tried for years.
Yeah... It's really hard to... I think it's a really hard sport to master. I think that's what makes it so exciting and why I've kept going for so long is that I don't feel like I've ever gotten top of the game. So I think if it was that easy to answer, then I would have been on top of the game a little more consistently than I have. But don't know, there's multiples that make it up. It's not being fit, it's not a great bike, it's just everything gelling together in that one run and not overthinking things and just, you know, you can sit there and analyze every single line you have, but, you know, I can guarantee if you just bomb the main line and ride it well, you'll win the race. It's such a easy sport to get complex about and overthink things, but it's all because you just don't know where everyone else is. You don't know what their bike setup is, you don't know what they've done in training, you don't know where they're on course. There's just so many variables, so yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Yep. Loris?
Yeah, it's the hardest question ever, I think, because for my part, I don't really know why, and I've never been there anyway. But I think it's maybe a mix in between hard work and smartness. I don't know.
Do you feel like you have talent that makes it natural, or is it a combination of how hard you work and how hard you want it?
I've seen something, I think it's Poland or something, but like talent is effort or something, like a quote like that. And I think it's a mix in between, like, when you're young, you got something to work on and being good after. So if you are, like, you can work on it anyway, but it's easier when you start with something like a talent or something. But yeah, I guess we all have been with a good run and stuff, and we can't put every single time a perfect run. So it's a really tough question.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's sick. And Luca, especially, like, with what seems like the lack of kind of U.S. downhill scene, how do you think you've made it? It almost seems like you didn't even have to go through, like, a national series and all this. Like, you were just all of a sudden, like, racing World Cups and doing all right. And maybe that's just ignorance.
I feel like that's sort of a cop out sometimes when you say, oh, it's like, it's hard for me to get to that level without the like grassroots support or whatever. But then you look at Greg and he comes from South Africa, and I don't really think they have much of a scene down there for downhill racing. So, and you know, like other people from all over who, you know, they didn't need that like, you know, they didn't need to be like pampered up to this level with all the support and all the sponsors and all this stuff that at the end of the day doesn't mean anything. Like, so, I mean, yeah, I don't really feel comfortable answering that question, 'cause I don't feel like I'm there yet. And I don't think I'll be there for a long time. You know, I feel like you're always trying to improve and always trying to get to that next level. Like, doesn't matter what your results are. Doesn't matter how fast you are. You know, you're always trying to reach that next level. So, I mean, for me, it's just that's what I'm sort of addicted to, and that's what I love, just like pushing myself and trying to improve every year and in any way you can. And it's always been my dream since, you know, as long as I can remember, to be like a professional athlete. And I don't want to stop until I've, you know, done the best I can. So it's addicting, and I love it, so I'm just gonna keep going as far as I can.
Good. Who's the unsung hero of the syndicate? And I'm Kathy. Not trying to get you to say Kathy necessarily.
No, Kathy.
Kathy.
Right? Did I not just prove it right now?
I mean,
I don't know. You're forgetting Dougie Fresh.
So
we got two. We got two. There's Kathy, who's flip, holds everything together. Does, I think, the most work on the syndicate, although Rob would like to credit as himself as, but he doesn't.
Rob who?
It's actually Kathy. Yeah, Rob's some ex-rollerblader from the 70s. And Kathy, I mean, does a ton of work. But let me tell you what, Dougie Fresh somehow pulled out playing a, what is this little thing called?
A harmonica?
A harmonica. Yeah. In a band in Lenzerheide. And it was incredible. Like, this hidden talent. And, I mean, I haven't really heard of Monica in a band much in South Africa. So when I saw this and he was, like, leading it out, was flipping impressive. Dougie's like a a man with hidden talents. Like Marshy says, he went to Morzine and suddenly he's like ripping on skis. And you go riding down on Dougie's right there behind you. You go on, you got a band, and there's Dougie with a harmonica leading it out. He's just like, he's like this hidden talent in many different disciplines, whatever you call it.
That's awesome.
I actually got a video somewhere. I'll try pull it up.
Yeah, pull it, send it to me. We can put it in the on the page with us.
Let me find it.
All right, let's we'll end it fairly lightheartedly, but based on riding styles.
Listen to this. Listen to this. Let's turn it up.
All right, time out. The goat's got a video.
We'll put it on the mic.
No technology at the table.
This is not Blues Traveling.
Is this the date? Oh shit! What's going on? Dave comes in with harmonica. How good is that?
Really? Yeah. You showed me that in the car interview. It's sick.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, super cool.
That's amazing.
We'll have to get him on just to do a harmonica podcast.
You know, he probably wouldn't, because he'd probably tell you that he doesn't know how to play it because he's really shy and he just doesn't like attention, but
he just busts it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how many like serious athletes he's worked for? Lance Armstrong and
Cheater.
Yeah.
And Luca Shaw.
Yeah, and Luca Shaw, top of the list. Shaw? Yep.
Yeah.
All right, based on your riding styles, which animal would you be? That's how we're going to end this one. And maybe should we let Greg answer for these two? We'll let everyone answer for someone else. Greg, answer for Loris and Luca. What animals would they be?
A Loris?
Oh.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Loris ride? His eyes would go like a Loris. They're just all big and just attention seeking.
Yeah.
So cute.
And Luca?
A bull.
No.
Bull. Like a raging bull.
Jesus.
No. No, maybe not
much. Back it up there, Terry. An animal.
Hamster.
No.
Yeah, nope. I think Greg is a stick or a tree.
That's not an animal.
I know, but like still alive.
A stick,
but,
a stick
but,
bug.
But there is a praying mantis. It's like a stick.
Thank you, appreciate it.
All right, Luca. What's Greg? And what's Loris? You still got to think of Luca's animal too.
I'm thinking of Luca's.
And don't forget the PD question. What would PD not want us to know?
Yeah. That's good.
That's the hardest question. I'm not really good at like
animals?
There's not many animals anyway.
There's not many animals.
Yeah, but like riding bikes.
So yeah, no.
We can't compare.
Yeah, riding style for animals.
Oh, Lucas.
Giraffe.
Thank you.
That's so hard, I can't think of it.
Yeah, right. Like a bear.
We're tanking here, we're tanking.
Bears.
Like a bear.
No, that's a bit too aggressive.
Yeah. I feel like Loris might be like a... Like
Lucas like a lizard.
I was going to say Loris.
You know, like
lizard.
A lizard with its... Because he rides like with his head kind of straight up and forward, and
his
body is moving.
So
his body moves a lot. Lucas, like underneath, and his head's really solid and straight, and
like
flowing where he wants to go. So he's kind of. Oh, have you ever seen that video on like Facebook with that lizard running from the snakes?
Yeah. Like
you
that.
You know, it's moving quick, but it's smooth and fast. Its head's just focused.
Yeah,
that's,
dude, you do.
That's Lucas.
You have.
Actually, Loris is also really similar in a way.
Which way?
So like really quick but smooth. You have
no,
Petey
like,
head.
Petey head.
Like you and Graves have Petey head. Like if you've ever noticed in a corner, their head's like super perpendicular to the ground, but their bike's doing all this stuff. Like it never moves. Like their head doesn't move.
Petey head.
Yeah, look at it. And Graves too. So, but he's on a different team.
I was just
going to
say like Loris is Loris right. Is a similar thing where his head's very solid where he's going.
Okay.
Plenty I like of it.
All right, this hopefully sparks some debate, and this can be the last question. Who gets the most sideways? Who whips it the hardest?
Luca?
I feel like I do, but I don't. I know.
No.
Yeah, I've
got
pictures. You want me to show
does
you?
Does it count? You can't whip a 29er.
Luca, Greg, and I.
I don't so think so. I think, bro, you get more sideways than Greg. That's,
you do.
That's pretty cool. I thought you guys would all be fighting for yourself. Like, I whip the most sideways, but you're fighting for the team.
I mean, no, I imagine I do, but I know polite. I don't.
Yeah, you
I've seen that. There was a picture from Montaden when you and I thought like I was about to scrape my pedal going off this bridge, and my bike was like straight up and ratty. Was like way flat. So I know I don't. I can't twist it. Like,
Luca, Loris, have you ever seen Greg do a heel clicker?
No.
Yeah, I've seen him do a heel clicker on a dirt bike.
Yeah, I was there.
Not on his bicycle, okay.
Dorno in Italy. I was actually pretty impressed.
Dude, you still bring those out?
No. They don't look
I
like
had
that.
To. I had to bring it out. We're messing around the motocross track like now in the off season, a big team session. So I had to just jump past them and bust one out. I think I actually bust one and then case the jump.
Remember, I fought with them last year on the highway. You looked.
That's just pretty nasty. Like, come on, tell Greg. Tell that's tell Greg. Tell yeah, that was sick.
What did you say?
Yeah, because I remember watching live the thing, and I put the replay, bro.
Look.
It's pretty good.
It's cribbed,
lots bro. Of good whips going on. What's a sidewalk slammer? I think Joe put that in the question. It says, how many sidewalk slammers can Luca do before he forgets his own name? What is that? Do you know what that is?
Oh, man. I've never had a full one. But you're familiar with Four Loko?
Oh, yeah.
So you drink half a Four Loko, and then you fill the rest of the can up with two shots of tequila and malt.
And thanks for tuning in, everyone. Colt 45. This has been the Inside My Podcast.
And more malt liquor, like Colt 45.
Holy crap.
And right.
Straight to Waffle House.
Yeah. It is so, so gross.
The Waffle House special.
It is the worst drink I've ever had, but a couple of my friends drink them, and it's like, that's what they drink before they go out, and then they don't spend any money at the
Who,
bar.
Trump.
Because that concoction is worth like...
What's his name?
Maybe like $5 tops. No, you know, and then that, you're on a level, and it's Four Loko, so you get the energy buzz. And that's sort of like, before you go to the bar, you drink that, and then... I mean, don't take it from me, because I've never finished one, because they're so gross. But then it's kind of like, you know, economical, because then you don't spend a whole lot of money at the bar.
Most bang for your buck.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like
baller on a budget.
Trump drink. What's his name?
That's not Colby. That's a different one.
Sounds like somebody he would do.
Walker, for sure, because he's a fucking animal, but...
All right. Greg, tell us your Steve Pete moment. The thing he doesn't want anyone to know, and we'll bleep it. So we can wrap this show up. Loris is half asleep. So
it's
are
like,
you.
You know, I can't really think, besides trying to do a bush dive and headbutting a pole. I mean, it wasn't that funny.
What
but
about Phil the Plumber?
It was, oh, yeah. See, I can't remember all this
that's
stuff.
Good. That's
well, weird Morzine, and it's.
And do I have to bleep this one out?
No.
I don't think you need to.
Okay. He's I'm retired. Like, doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was going to tell the story where Steve had some hair sticking out the back of his helmet, and then Josh said, hey, well, in American, your bangs. In English, you'd say your fringe is sticking out the back of your helmet. That was pretty funny. But anyway, we're in Morzine, and we decided to have a couple of mojitos after a day's riding. And Steve just somehow was managing to like whistle to this barman and just stick up his hand with four fingers up saying another four. Kept going with a little whistle like that. And then the night progressed, and anyway, we're talking about how it's quite hard to go out and have a good time sometimes, because there's like lots of people and you know need to have a photo and you just want to have a good time, and
oh, you're just such
it
a superstar
just
now,
gets a rest. And we're talking about that, and Steve was like, it's yeah, I know, you better this and that. So anyway, that must have been playing in his mind, because he went out and tried to convince these guys his name was Phil the Plumber with his monster cap on. And I think they found him in a bush. He had done a bush dive and ended up just getting comfy in there. And then and I'm going home with these guys with Phil the plumber and continuing the night like only Phil can. So he's got quite a unique look, so when you're trying to convince people your name's Phil and then pretend you're a plumber, which he was, it's quite a good story. So Phil's quite legendary in Mawson these days.
Who with that, we'll wrap it up. You guys ready to go to bed? A little sleepy?
I'm feeling good now. I had a coffee and a bit more wine.
Let's go through some more. You want to do some more?
Let's do some more because you can edit.
Let's keep it going.
Greg retiring, whatever. There's a... Greg, can you ride a small frame? That's not that cool. Greg, what was your first bike? We've already seen that stuff.
What about some Spomer questions?
I think I've kind of run through most of them. Jeez. Arch Nemesis, excited for the first race, 60 qualifiers. What's with Greg's helmets? How's that?
Ooh.
Do you guys know how much the other gets paid? Oh, I was a little scared to ask that one. Sorry. You don't have to answer it.
No. I'm pretty sure I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but that's about all I know.
How's racing different? Is there team strategy on race day? Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, race day. If you go first, is there feedback to Greg at the top of the hill or Loris, whoever's last down or second to last down?
I think that's what separates the Syndicate from other teams is we are a team.
Yeah, communication?
We honestly do help each other in any way we can.
Wouldn't you?
Well, the other teams don't really operate. Yeah, for sure. There's so much rivalry and teams and stuff. I think that's why we're different. We help each other with bike setup. We're on track helping each other with lines. If one of them had to come down and find a hazard or a problem, I'm pretty sure they would find a way to let whoever else at the top know. And that's what I think separates the Syndicate from the rest of the guys. It's like we're actually supportive of each other doing well, even if one of these young guns beats me or I beat them. I think it shows. Like you see the footage after a race, and one of us does well, we might beat the other one, or whatever. Everyone's just as happy, and like everyone's all stoked. It's a team. It's a real team.
Yep.
Yeah. When you look through this book, you see how many photos you have of you guys hugging one another after.
Yeah, no, I started to feel a bit weird. They're making me a bit awkward at times.
Can you bleep that out?
He can.
Do you guys watch the full race recaps, or do you just watch your runs? Like, what do you do like post race?
Well, I mean, I usually come down with plenty of time to watch all those. I always do. Yeah, it's like
the whole thing. Like you watch everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I mean, they only show like 20 now, so you might as well.
Yeah, Loris.
Yeah, sometimes you don't really want to see what you've done because you know you've done some retard stuff on track.
Will you not watch your run, or do you always watch it to see?
No, I always watch it, but I feel bad.
He doesn't
for
watch
people.
Us in public. He'll go to his room and watch exactly. his run and come back out and watch your race.
Yeah, because I'm ashamed sometimes of what I've been doing on my bike. But anyway, yeah, and sometimes it's hard to watch the
woman.
Best run. I don't watch women. Sorry. The fastest man you don't really want to see because you're like, fuck him. But yeah, that's it.
Do you ever look at stuff and like, think like, oh, there's a line choice or the way they handle like someone faster than you handle the section? Do you look at that and realize like, oh, why didn't I do that? Or is it, you know, what's it like?
Not after the race, but apparently Luca does.
Yeah, I mean, like, why wouldn't you? It's like, you know, it's a chance to learn, try and get better.
Like, do you see drastic line choice differences?
Not usually, no, but it's like, you know, someone's like style or, you know, how they went through a section or whatever, like, why wouldn't you watch it, you know? I always watch it, yeah.
Do you think, oh, why didn't I do that, or?
No, it's just like, you know, I mean, yeah, sometimes you might be like, oh, dang, like, I didn't see that, or that's, you know, something I probably could have done, but, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of an opportunity to learn from your mistakes or, you know, take something good that you have done and try and, you know, next time do better.
What about you? Greg,
it's like a Bitcoin. Wish you had taken it, but you didn't.
Does it come down to line choice or just how things are written? Or
nah,
is it like it's
I mean,
so
sometimes
it's not lines, right?
Huh? I don't think it's lines. No. I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the worst thing is the worst thing is you think you've done this most amazing line, and then you see the guy railing the main line, and he looks way quicker, and you're like, I wasted all that time trying to do this fancy line. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, I just equate it just like the after party. You think you're doing this amazing dance move. When someone films you, it's not so amazing after all.
Yeah. Does that...
But it was fun.
It was fun doing it, just not amazing as you felt.
Like, is this something you've newly realized, or have you known this for a while?
Nah, it's... yeah. You know, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Like... Does that impact you, though? Like,
no, you should still try and do another fancy line next time. You know, because you think it's so amazingly quick, and until someone films you, and that dance move just ain't that cool.
Is that cool. Why you don't
dance? Yeah, I've learned not to dance.
All right, there's an Instagram. What did you do with the broken V10?
You know what?
Dude, let's go through that. Like, I know it's kind of been gone through. Party foul, caught it.
Taxi.
Good save.
It's all on my foot.
I'll lick it. Luca's feet don't count.
Jeez.
I spilled my wine.
Jesus Christ.
The broken bike.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Talk me through it. Okay, so
what'd you do with the bike?
So what I did was my parents came out to that race, so I sent a race bag home with like stuff I didn't need for cans. I slipped the frame in because I thought, you know, I'm finishing up my house, so it would be a great place to put that bike is in your pub. And so I slipped it in the bag and sent it back to South Africa.
Seriously?
And then Rob was like, yeah, we need that frame back. The engineers want to have a look at it. And I was like, too late. She's in South Africa. So
Africa has it now. Bangkok has it now.
I know Sven kind of explained it in the slideshow from the day, but has there been much talk about how gnarly that transition was to get you back to qualify and like kind of how banged up you got too, right?
I didn't really get banged up, which was surprising. So it was weird because I got into that section, felt real good, and just thought I'd let off and just see how really fast I could hit that section. And then got offline, tried to kind of correct myself. Front wheel started drift, hit the rut. Caught an edge, flicked me over into that post, the frame wrapped around the post, snapped, and then I hit the inside of my shin. That was it. Had like a little scratch on my elbow, nothing else. But I was so confused and like a little bit sore, but not injured at all. Like kind of trying to walk it off, see this bike lying there, and there was a French rider who used to race, Guillaume Corvin, and I was like trying to puzzle how I had to get down. We only had half an hour left of practice, and then basically that gave us an hour to get to the top for the qualifying. And so Guillaume was like, don't worry about it, he'll carry the bike down. So I was like, well, that's cool, at least I get to walk the rest of the track down. It's probably about halfway up. I got down and news got down to Kathy and Petey was up trying to find the bike, and we couldn't find Guillaume anywhere, and we just stood in the pits waiting because we had no idea where he was or how he was getting down. And out of the blue, he came out from the opposite side of the pits out of a medic car with the frame all wrapped up in a jacket, a medic's jacket, just to hide it, which is really cool. And then Marsh and I got tucked in trying to like swap this frame out. So, you know, I'm not the greatest mechanic, but I can twist the spanner here and there. And
so you helped build your bike to get to qualifying.
I would
45 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I did most of it, but I did a fair amount. You know, I had to swing a spanner in the bike shop when I was growing up, so I know how to work on bikes. And Marshy finished it off, and I went up without a race bike, and Marshy met me up top with the race bike to do the qualies.
Were you stressed about? Was it kind of like a mind eraser? Were you just like, whatever happens, happens? Or were you still in it?
No, I didn't mind too much. It was just a frame, you know? As long as the bars hadn't moved, I would be fine. True story.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right. What will all you do differently this year than last year for how you attack the season? Luca first.
Um... Not a whole lot, honestly. I feel like last year I was pretty prepared, and I had like, I just didn't have much momentum on my side, and like, I feel like every race I had a good result in me. I just didn't, for some reason, I couldn't like pull it out and couldn't like race to my potential. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna try and be even more prepared and even more fit and ready this year, and then, you know, give it another go. But
what's like mentally, what's the difference between qualifying day and race day? Because you've had some super sick qualifying results, and then race day doesn't always add up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like each year I race, like sometimes I'm like, I'll struggle in qualies and then I'll be better on race day. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of just, it's hard. I don't really have an answer. You know, it's like, I think this nowadays, it's like almost like everyone treats quali like a race. And
do you get nervous in the gate for either?
I'd say it's kind of similar, you know,
for like, both days.
Yeah. So I'm just going to, you know, prepare as best I can and, you know, work hard and try and be ready when that time comes and then see what happens. But I'm feeling pretty confident about this year. I feel like I can definitely, I feel like I had a lot more in me this year than I showed. So, I mean, I'm more just excited to get back and try again. So
cool. Loris?
I think you were maybe talking about me, about the quali, because I was like always doing good qualies and yep. Finally, in final, it was harder because I wasn't expecting to be there on quali because I don't know why I feel smooth and not fast, and it's actually working well. So I'm really stressed on the race day and yeah, trying to do what I've done in quali during race day would be perfect. So I guess, trying to build the weekend a bit differently would be better.
Do you look at it that way? Like it's kind of a building block to race day?
Sometimes you don't know why everything is going perfectly, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it next weekend, and it's the opposite, everything is going wrong, so you never know. But I guess once it's time race, like race run, you have to switch and race.
Yeah. Do you think you need a Cuban bar at every World Cup?
Yeah.
Do you feel like is there less pressure on race day if you don't qualify that well? Like, would you rather have a...
For sure.
Yeah.
Really?
For me...
For him.
For me, it's just like, you've done well, so it means that you can do well, so you have to do well. And once you're like, oh, I don't know why I'm there, I'm slow on quali day, you'll be like, fuck, I'm gonna go fast. And you're like killing everyone. So I don't know. It's just hard sometimes. But sometimes it's like Liu Gang, doing good qualies, good race, and you don't know why. So it's weird. I'm weird. Sorry.
Greg.
I think it's good to have a good quali. Then, you know, if you don't do well, you just go, oh, well, I was unlucky. Had a great quali. Look what could have happened.
Yeah?
It's a nice...
You don't feel like that. Is it not?
No, I'm just joking.
That was the year for me. Look what I'm good at.
I don't know. I don't think I can change what I do in a race and quali situation.
I don't, like, do you feel like you have, with all your experience, like, is your kind of race weekend habit pretty set in stone now?
It is, but it isn't because I have such a great off season, and I'm like so far from really the sport in the off season that when I enter the season, it feels like kind of a new game again.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. I still have the same routines, but it feels so different each season.
Yeah.
Is
that conscious? Like, you consciously take a break from bikes and riding, or like just the racing, or is it just something like you just?
It just I'm pretty busy. I've got a lot going on besides racing. So once the season's over, I turn my focus onto it, and then you know, slowly into the December, January, I start kicking off again. But yeah, you know, there's not a massive race season, and the race scene only kind of kicks off in April when it's the World Cup season, so I don't really have a scene at home that I'm involved in. So I'm very separate from racing, and which I think is pretty good. I think that's what's given me the longevity in racing.
Like, don't burn out too much.
Nah. Yeah, and we only have 7 races anyway. So
Would you like more? I'm just kidding. We already
have. I mean, I'd love to do more, but the surf is so good in South Africa.
Season. Forget about it. Shit, I'm totally blanking.
That is on the Instagram.
What was I just going to ask you? Oh, is Leo Gang as bad as... How come so many people complain about Leo Gang, but then it's always one of the sickest there. Races? Because what?
Because they've never been there.
Well, it's like, not this year, but whatever, 2016, and when it rained, that was honestly like one of the hardest tracks.
How come?
Because it was that like stumpy root section where there was just mud and roots everywhere, and like I...
It was like really fresh dirt, like it didn't
kind of like I don't think I made it through there one time except for like my... Oh, no. Yeah, the only time I made it through was my race run, I'm pretty sure, without crashing.
I think
it was like super hard, like, for me.
Yeah, Leo Gang always has technical sections that are pretty tough, and I think that...
Especially when it rains.
They had, like, some man-made stuff, and some of the riders had a problem with it. So then they ended up changing it and, like, filling it all in, which now made it a lot faster this year, and maybe a little too fast, I thought, at times. I mean, I think we... with some sections way too quick now, which is probably more dangerous. But I've always thought that Leo Gang, you know, although it's got a flat section in the middle, it's always been pretty steep. It's a steep track. You know, the gradient when you do turn down is pretty steep, and it's got a kind of good variance of everything. So I don't understand it. I know we go in a bike park, but if you look at, you know, how we kind of align ourselves in the economy of cycling, we are bike park sport, really. And so to race at a bike park should be the kind of norm, because, you know, that's working within our industry. So to have it more natural, yeah, we should. But you're going to have tracks like Leo Gang. We need them. So, you know, I think they do a really good job of a bike park and try and make it as natural as they can around a bike park.
Yeah. Does it... So, is it kind of like... Is antithetical the word? I don't know. Does it go against what you're trying to accomplish if you're focusing on a track you don't like? Like, what do you do if you get to a track you're not satisfied on with?
You shouldn't. I mean, it's a World Cup, so you should be racing on all variants of tracks. So, like, bike parky or steep or whatever. You should try all of them. And, of course, you're not going to like some of them. And most of the time, the guys who don't like the track are the tracks they don't feel they can do well on. And I think that's what unfortunately happened with Leo Gang, is the team that was complaining about the track with a team that didn't really do so well there, and now they've changed it to something, and I think it's gone in the wrong direction, because it I felt it was a lot better with the man-made stuff than without.
Yeah. Well, it's like everyone races on the same track, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. Deal with
stop
it
complaining. Yeah,
you know, we used to go race in South Africa, which was, yeah, it had a long pedal section and whatever, but you know, if you look at the podium there, it wasn't far different to the podium in Champeray, where it was deep alpine stuff. So I don't know why all these guys are on there high horse about riding more natural, not or whatever. It's just, I don't know. I think they're just trying to hype up all the internet geeks to comment more.
That's it.
Maybe they're just trying to gain followers. I don't know.
What track are you looking forward to most in 2018, Luca?
Every year I look forward to Andorra the most, probably. That's my favorite track. And I think...
It's also one of the best after parties.
Well, that, but that is honestly, that just is saying. My favorite just track every year,
but
pretty much.
Andorra is like, it's pretty pedally or kind of like flatter at the top, right? It seems like that gets overlooked a little bit.
But I mean...
It's only to the first bridge.
It's my...
And then you do not put a pedal in at all.
Yeah?
That's the track I look forward to the most.
Yeah, and is it because the steeps? Like, why?
I think, I don't know, I just have the most fun riding that track. Like, there is a bit of everything, and I feel like it's fun to ride, and it's gnarly at the same time, where it's like, maybe Val d'Isol's like, gnarly, but maybe not so fun. Like, but I definitely like those tracks, like Andorra, Val d'Isol, the ones that are, you know, steeper, more demanding, but Andorra, for me, every year... If it's wet or dry or whatever, it's like always seems like my favorite. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Loris, who's heads down in his arms, ready to take a nap.
Just for the fun part, I say Leo Gang, because it's just like bike parky and you just jump and kind of have fun without any fear. So I say Leo Gang, but yeah, other tracks like Andorra at the end and Val d'Isol some parts are fun but scary in the same time, so it's exciting. But there's a lot of good tracks, I think. And every time we are on our bikes, we have having fun. So that's it. It's Greg's turn now.
What are you looking forward to? What about LeBresse coming back? It's back, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you don't even know the schedule. Yeah. So.
Yeah, LeBresse is good. It is cool. I have to agree with Luca. It's like Andorra is a long track. It's long. It's steep. It's fast. It's got so many variables. Like
so good.
Yeah, there's just that berms, like there's a middle section where you just like drifting into these berms and.
It's the best track.
Yeah, it's just it's got quite a bit of everything, and it's I think it's one of the yeah, it's fun, it's challenging at the same time. Good after party,
dude. Do you think about
that's cool.
that last turn very much, or is it kind of just like done?
No, I actually try to forget about it. Or second last turn, thanks.
Remember that one time?
Oh man,
like how does stuff like that sit with you, like?
Oh, it didn't sit very well, but I
no, but kind like over of, the like, years, like
I was pissed off with it. No, I forget about it quite quickly. Okay. Yeah, you have to keep moving on. But I was pissed off at the time. I went and sat on the bank by myself, and just been pissed off with myself for a little bit, and then got over it and had a good time.
Yeah,
you have to. You can't keep dwelling on things.
Fair enough.
Like your drink in your hand.
I didn't ask for the refill. I'll probably spill it on Luca again. Seriously, last question.
Is this going to be the longest podcast?
Do you think Sven's might have been one of the longest and Matt Thompson, but this one's, where are we at? How far do you think we are right now?
148.
That long? No. Jeez. Impossible. Impossible.
What do you got?
Hour 10.
58.
Greg?
I don't know. I'm just trying to see if Gaspar's missing me because he wouldn't have a drink, so that was going to judge the time. So.
We're at 134. Yeah. All right, last question for real, so Greg can go take a nap or have a drink, whatever he's going to do. How?
You're not happy.
We'll go Luca Loris, Greg. We'll wrap it up. How do you deal with the risk of what you have to do now? The risk of riding the bike that fast through the woods and the trees and the rocks.
It's like, I mean, I feel like we are at the level and like we prepare to like the point where. It's all calculated, you know? It's like, it might look dangerous or scary or whatever, but to me, it's... I just sort of... I don't really think about it. Mm-hmm. And, no, I mean, yeah, of course what we do is dangerous, but, I mean, you can kind of get hurt doing anything, so I don't really think about that.
That's it?
But I don't feel...
Like, it vowed the soul? Like, you don't think, like, ooh, this
I feel nuts. Like, you, me, my, the way I go about it, I usually am feel like I'm in my limits, like, within my limits, not taking too many risks. Of course, like, you know, you're going to have stuff happen and you're going to crash, whatever, but I don't feel like every time I go down, like, a gnarly track, it's just like I'm rolling the dice, and it's like, oh, here we go, like, hope I don't wad it up this time. Like, my style is more like, you know, kind of like... Start real slow and build up slowly and, you know, get comfortable, whatever. So I feel like, honestly, I don't feel like it's too dangerous for me, my style or whatever. So,
because you said you watch yourself and you look like you're just going super slow, right?
I wish it felt that easy, but.
Gotta open that can up, Luca. Come on.
Yeah, I try. No, it's like my dad, he like watches all my races, of course, and he's like, man, you need to try a little harder. And I'm like, dude, I'm on the limit. Like, I'm about to eat it, but it's like, yeah, it doesn't look like it, but I honestly am, I feel like I'm pushing hard, but maybe there's another level, I don't know, but you know, I feel like for me it's pretty calculated, and I, you know, don't like to roll the dice too hard, but yeah. Loris, your turn.
Loris, gambler.
For me, I think the risk comes from where you don't really know where to go, or that's why I think enduro is quite, like, way dangerous. Awesome.
Enduro is way more dangerous.
Not 100%. Finale, but
not finale.
But I think enduro, when you don't really know where to go and you have to push like really, really hard, you can crash even way harder. So I guess when it's like Val di Sole and it's really not packy, I don't know. It's like
soft.
Yeah, soft. When it's soft,
not packy,
and you don't really know all the routes and stuff, you can get something like weird. But once you get to know the track or the thing, it's just your fault and the risk is you. You're the risk. So, yeah, like Luca, sometimes you roll the dice. I roll the dice sometimes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
What's it take to open up? Like, let's say you have the track dialed, but you know you have to do something a little bit more to go faster. Like, what does it take to open up to that?
I don't know. There's
a hot chick on the side of the track.
No, I can see that. I'm going too fast. No, there's something.
Sophie's standing on the side, shaking her hips.
And the worst is like when everything is going well, you have to push a tiny bit too much and everything goes wrong right now. So I think it's just like confidence. When you have too much confidence, it's bad. Yeah. Like, yeah, it happens. Yeah. But yeah, you have to be really well prepared to crash.
So confident you're prepared to crash.
Yeah, that's why I'm riding with body armor and stuff. I'm scared. Like, I roll the dice sometimes. I agree.
Are you full, like head to toe?
I'm full.
Like full like body armor, sorry.
It's like a Ninja Turtle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got my body armor and
he wears a baseball knee.
He's even got those rollerblade little things that go in the front of your hands so you can do a little grind.
Yeah, I wish. But it's just like annoying. But if it wasn't annoying, I'd put everything. It's just, yeah. If you crash, you'd be like, oh, good, it saved me.
Mm-hmm. Full cocoon.
Greg is lucky for that.
The turtle shell.
Oh, Raphael over here.
Anyway, that's it.
People ask that, though. Like, why do you guys wear such minimal protection, Loris aside in this case? But, like,
yeah, because you go for it sometimes, and there's trees, so
yeah, but
you
like,
don't want to kill a tree.
Yeah, but if you slam, it takes you out for the next 6 weeks. What if you're wearing pads, and it would have been, like, 3 days?
But, hey, okay. So
you wear
stuff. You wear stuff. And you only DNS one time in 10 fucking years.
What's that going to do with protection?
Exactly.
Well, you've crashed and you're still starting. All right, let's go to Greg and the risk. And you seem like you've opened up a little bit about that. Just like you feel like you've taken more chances or been kind of looser than maybe
ever
you've been in the last couple years than ever.
Raw dog.
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah, I think it's just more managed risk, like
free willy.
knowing when to free it up and let off. I think mine's like, yeah, more managed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes though, your management can get a little wrong, and you open her up in the wrong section.
It was a femur.
And like the Enduro. You know, I flipping got hurt all season. Had that massive crash in an... where was it? I was going to say Andorra, but it wasn't.
Valdosol.
And so I go to this flipping Enduro race. And after walking my bike up for at least an hour to the top of the first stage, I'm bombing down, just loving life, riding the trail. I see Petey Dog. And I'm like, no way, I've caught him. So I start to push harder, and I crash. Land on my neither had the reconstruction thing. Get going again, catch him again, crash again. Anyway, that's my injury for the season. So I pulled out. Decided to enjoy the party.
All right, and someone asked, who took the dress home?
I didn't take it home.
I have it, and it'll come out this week.
I know. Why?
It always comes out in testing.
We're not... Are we timing?
Loris looks scared.
Fuck no. Yeah, we might be. Guess we might have.
You guys time testing? Is
the problem is
Loris, dress?
Loris gets nervous because he feels really comfortable in the dress.
You love it. You've worn it more than anybody.
But that's really what happens. You time and the slowest has to wear a dress?
Yeah.
For what? For like, what's the? How long do you wear
the
dress?
Dinner. For dinner. After dinner.
No way.
Loris wears it to a dinner with just us in bumfuck Portugal, but I wear it for a whole night out in Santa Cruz.
So you did not wear it the whole night out. You wore like your clothes over it.
Wait a minute.
No, it's just
when
all the
pins. When were you ever the slowest, Loris? You never wore the dress.
Lusa.
You went, oh, right.
That's it.
Yeah, that one.
Only time. Yes.
The only time.
But you didn't wear it after dinner. You just wore it to the...
I know, I'm lucky.
Yeah, you got lucky.
He wore it to bed with Pierre.
But I kissed the dog. The thing.
The fox.
So
the
fox. Josh had docked the fox. If you know what docking is, he docked the fox. And so we gave Loris the fox and he kissed the fox that Josh had docked.
I don't even understand what's happening. Yeah, right? Yeah. All right.
At least.
If you're lucky.
Greg Menard, Loris Vergier, Lucas Shaw. Thanks, guys. It's been fun hanging out. That's what I think, anyhow. So. I'm not biased.
Thanks, Sean.
I'm not biased. Thank you, guys. Here's to a good 2018.
Ooh, yeah. Hey. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to Vital MTB's The Inside Line podcast. Episodes drop every other Wednesday. Thanks to Jensen USA and Maxxis Tires for the support. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Vital MTB.